You're listening to a 95BFM podcast. Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labour MP Andrew Little.
Yes, Andrew Little came. He actually came into BFM this morning. It was our first meeting. I do have the pictures to prove it. You can see those on our Twitter. This week we discussed youth being remanded into police cells and the Human Rights Commissioner's appointment process. Here is Andrew.
Under the Oranga Tamariki Act, police have an option. Police cells are an option for judges to remand youth awaiting trial. What do you think of this?
Yeah, I think, look, the reality is there are some young offenders for whom the safest thing is that they are, you know, detained appropriately. I think the obligation is to try to find a suitable place for them to be placed that is away from any influences of offending and where they're going to be kept safe and obviously, you know, away from adult jails. Sometimes that's just not possible, and sometimes if the offending that the person is charged with is so severe, you know, a more severe response is needed even for remand purposes. I think what's important is that where we do place young people, young offenders, has got to be a suitable place with the assumption that they can be rehabilitated. And what we don't want to do is get into a situation where we start treating young offenders, you know, in a sense the same as adult offenders, and deny them the chance to perhaps, you know, be helped, be assisted, turned around and you know, kind of get back on the straight and narrow.
Because the Children's Commissioner has come out and said he'd like to see this provision removed from the Act. Will you be looking at this?
We're not planning on that at the moment. I mean, we're certainly, as part of the criminal justice reform program, we're looking at is more options for young offenders, both for the police to refer them to without having to go through formal processes, and for the courts to refer young offenders to. But we're not looking at changing what happens with Oranga Tamariki's statutory right or obligation to the court.
Because it does, keeping them in these cells, and they can be kept there indefinitely, breaches their rights under the Convention on the Rights of the Child.
Yeah, I think there is that constant weighing up of, you know, the best interest of the child, the safety of the community, and I think that's why what you do in youth justice facilities is important. It ought to be a different environment to your kind of standard adult prison, because in the end, these are young, vulnerable people, notwithstanding what they've done. And you do want to create an environment where they do have a chance to change. And if, as they usually are with young offenders, a whole bunch of underlying issues, you want to be able to address those underlying issues.
But when they are remanded into these police cells before they go to court, it's basically akin to solitary confinement. They're kept in these cells, possibly the whole day, in pretty poor conditions. Why not just remove this option and then invest more in other remand facilities?
Yeah, look, I think that's a good point. I think, the police remanding in police cells is meant to be the absolutely last resort, and it's meant to be a temporary kind of thing as well. In the end, it comes down to what is, you know, weighing up what's best for the young offender and what's best for the rest of the community. And also with the overriding thing about keeping the young person safe, which you best do by keeping them out of an adult prison and not putting them into an adult remand prison. So it's a difficult balancing exercise, but in terms of can we make sure there are enough facilities available for young offenders through Oranga Tamariki, then actually I think, we will need to look at that and make sure we've got suitable facilities regardless of where it is, or, you know, where the person is and the time of day.
Because right now, I suppose there aren't enough other facilities, obviously, because they're being remanded into police cells, and this will probably only get worse when 17-year-olds are brought under the youth justice system. Do you have any plans to invest in other facilities?
We have about 150 youth justice facility places across New Zealand, and I know that Oranga Tamariki is conscious of the fact that, you know, you expand there, that, you know, lift the age limit for the people they can put in those facilities. It's going to put some pressure on them. They're dealing with that at the moment. I don't know in detail what the plans are to deal with an expected sort of extra number, but we certainly are conscious of it. And I know the minister in charge of Oranga Tamariki, Tracy Martin, is very, you know, very much focused on this.
So if you don't amend the Act to remove the option of remanding them into police cells, could you possibly look at other options like providing better carers rather than them just being in a police cell, a regular police station with police?
I think it comes down to that thing about the young person who will be in an incredibly vulnerable situation, being able to be put in a safe place and also you know, those around them, community and what have you, being safe as well. Often for young offenders, particularly where the offending is severe, if it's driven off, you know, a disastrous family situation, you don't want to put them back with their family, so you're then looking for other caregivers, and you've got to make sure that there are caregivers who are capable of dealing with somebody who might be, you know, quite distressed and whose behaviour will be very demanding. And that's, I think, the part of the challenge we have. And that, I think the idea is that if they have to be detained in a police cell, the police have an obligation to make sure that you know, the young person is safe and not exposed to kind of, you know, adult offenders and those sorts of things.
I guess quite often they can't really ensure this, and often they do run into, if being transported there, they run into adult offenders or on the way to the cell, and this also breaches our international obligations. I mean, should this not be something you're looking at?
That is, as a matter of routine and kind of operational procedure, you know, the police should be making sure that they are fulfilling our obligations, and which is not mixing them with adult prisoners. So if that is happening, then that's actually something you can fix up operationally. But in terms of having a place to go that is not a police cell as a last resort, that is the challenge of having enough facilities and the decision. Do you invest more in extending or in a new youth facility now, if in the long run what you want to actually achieve is a reduction in youth offending?
You've announced a panel to help you appoint new human rights commissioners. Can you talk about this a bit?
Yeah, this is just, we've got three vacancies at the moment. And one of the obligations we sign up to with a human rights body like the Human Rights Commission is a level of political independence. So I've got to have, I could commission a process through the State Service Commission. In the end, you know, it would have a political element to it. I've got to make sure that this is depoliticised as much as possible. So we have a panel. It's Pauline Winter and Sir John Clark and Al Morrison from the State Service Commission who are looking at it. We've had about 50 or 60 applications for the three positions.
Is that more than you were expecting?
Not everybody's... Look, there's the Chief Commissioner and two other commissioners with specific designations. Not everybody's applied for every position, but across the three of them, there's that many. Most applications have applied for multiple positions. Their job is they do the shortlisting, the screening, the interviewing, and what have you, and then they come up with some recommendations to me, and I've committed to the leader of every political party, including the National Party, that I consult them before appointments are made. That just takes the kind of the unnecessary politics out of it. We need to make sure that our Human Rights Commission is, you know, is strong in spirit, and you know they've got to know that they are, when it comes to them doing their role, including when they have to criticise the government, that they are protected, you know, in doing so, because we do not want to politicise what they do.
The last Chief Human Rights Commissioner, David Rutherford, was pretty heavily criticised for his management and communication style. How are you going to ensure that the new commissioners collaborate more effectively than the last ones?
I think that is about who you choose and kind of what guidance, if any, that you as a minister I can give them, which is to kind of do their job and boldly stand up for the various principles and values that they stand for, that they're there to see through. I can't as minister be seen to be directing them. They don't report to me in an employment sense. They report to me about what they're doing. In the end, it is going to be the role of the Chief Human Rights Commissioner to provide that leadership role, draw other commissioners together. I think if I, you know, an observation that was made to me recently was that the, I think one of the difficulties was is that the Human Rights Commission, at least the commissioners, the group of commissioners who make it up, have kind of, they do their own sort of little areas very well and charge off on their own projects, and that's all very good and very important. What they haven't been very good at is working cohesively as a union, saying, right, what do we want to achieve overall? How do we each support each other to do this and have a commission that's achieving this, you know, broad sort of program of human rights advancement, promotion and protection? And so that's what we're looking for in terms of putting a team together that has that sense of collective purpose, as well as prosecuting their individual parts, such as race relations, LGBTQ rights and what have you.
So do you feel there needs to be more change than just changing the commissioners? Does there need to be sort of, I suppose, institutional change within the commission?
It's something I think we'll get through this appointment process, because there's a statutory obligation to do that, and I want the, I'm uncomfortable with there being a gap even now. It's only sort of a month or so old, but so I want to get those, through those, and then I think I will have a look at with the commissioners, the new commissioners, look at any structural issues. I think there is an issue about the fact that we have at the moment four full-time human rights commissioners. They're full-time, they're in the organisation, and then every now and again they step out and they are the governance board of the commission as well. And there's no, at the governance level, there's no kind of person coming in from the outside with a bit more of an external perspective, acting as a check and a balance on those who are full-time within the organisation. So I think we can do something there. In terms of the commission and its staff itself, I'm really reliant on the Chief Human Rights Commissioner and the Chief Executive of the Commission to make judgments about what is best going to suit and support the work that the Commission has to do.
That was Labor MP Andrew Little. The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.